Sentient beings are numberless, about to save them. Desires are inexhaustible, about to end them. The dharmas are boundless, about to master them. The Buddha's way is incomparable, about to attain it. Good morning. Our next retreat will be in September, probably the third week in September. I will post something about it soon, or soon enough. There's been a theme running through my talks lately. Stillness, the still point. Stillness has no name and no home. So where do you find it? In Zen, we talk about mind to mind, the direct experience, the direct understanding. Often the example is used of Buddha holding up the flower. What is this? So why do we reach beyond form and name and conception? Why? What is the cause of suffering? Name, form, making. As soon as you name something, you have a this and a that. It's convenient for us. It's also a trap. All experience is susceptible to our karmic justifications for how things are. If we stop just for a moment, what is there? So sometimes we think our practice is polishing the mirror, wiping off the dust. Yuning said, there is no mirror and no dust. So I encourage you, every chance you get, to stop naming, stop making, and just be present to this moment, the stillness, which is ever present, cannot be defiled, is beyond life and death. For all these eons of time that humanity has struggled with this very question, compassion and I guess you could call it sadness for the situation we're in, for the ignorance, greed, and anger that we see. So the compassion, you know, is understanding and feeling sad at the same time. The bodhisattva does whatever the bodhisattva can to relieve the suffering. And we say there's smoke on the horizon and the cardinal's song after the storm. Would you rather I talked about politics or what I had for breakfast or how to make lots of money? I'm sure my podcasts would be much more popular if I could give you a piece of cake. But it's a difficult job to remind you that you're going to die. So nobody likes to hear it. So those of us who are firmly on the path, we feel the suffering of the world. We understand. We do whatever we can to adjust our lives in such a way that we create less suffering. And we share whatever wisdom we can with those that are willing to hear it and see it. And those that are asleep are asleep. You might have the most delicious cake in the world, but you can't force it down someone's throat if they don't know it. What if to them your cake just looks like a turd? And yet it is the most delicious cake ever made. So that's why you don't dive into ideas, labels, and names to try to teach the end of suffering. You have to wake up. You have to stop. You have to experience the stillness for yourself. No one can bring it to you. They can just be it. And it can be reflected in your own experience. Huning, you know, was thought of as part of the Southern School, which was, you know, the instant, the instant enlightenment, you know, just that, now you're awake. But that's not really what it was about. It was just that those who were ready and whose karma was such that they were able to hear it or see it or have their mind experience it together with the teacher, this mind to mind, then it happened. If this circumstances weren't right, that you could see the stillness, then it wasn't going to happen. So it doesn't matter how many eons and lifetimes you practice in the wrong way. At some point, you have to be shocked into it. It's right here. And then you can be part of the solution as opposed to part of the problem by just being present to this moment and not making something out of it. We just left Afghanistan after a 20-year war. How much karma do you think is involved in that? And now all the talking heads are trying to figure out what's going to happen to them now? What happened to us? What happened to all of us? How was it created in the first place? Naming, blaming, greed, anger, ignorance. It doesn't have to be this way. One of the great contemporary teachers wrote a book on Zen entitled, It Doesn't Have to Be This Way. I'm not a pessimist, I'm an optimist from that point of view. It doesn't have to be this way. But you know, I have my karma. I sat up last night, I had a cup of coffee after dinner. My wife said, what are you drinking coffee now for? I said, I don't know. I just wanted a cup of coffee. Drank a cup of coffee, sat down at my computer and binge watched a TV show till 1 o'clock in the morning. So that whole mess lingered in my dream state the whole freaking night. I kept seeing aliens and blah. So, you know, when it comes to knowing ourselves, There's this form here that we've taken and this karma from our history and past that we keep projecting on ourselves. And yeah, it's all there as a mess, if you want to call it that or not. But when you can see what's happening for yourself, then you can adjust to it and recognize your own addictive personality. You know, why are you chasing after things? You know, when you start to really look at it all, the best thing you can do is stop, get to a still point, and then see it. Taste the apple to understand what an apple is. Yeah, this is it. This is our life. And it's the only one we got. So show up. And when we waste some time, now what? Every opportunity you get, because you only have this time that you're allotted right here to figure it out. Stop. Be still. Get clear. Let your mind be clear like space. Reflect. See. One of the things that's really difficult for us, because we're so identified with this idea of self, is to see the whole picture, the oneness, the non-duality of it. Because we're always coming from the place of duality and we're expecting to see non-duality. You can't get to what you are from what you're not. So here we are stuck in duality, trying to find non-duality. You know, I'm going to find non-. What? Who's the I here? Stillness has no name and no home. It's not in you. Who's you? That's part of the delusion. It's just causes and conditions built up. Yet, I love summers in Florida. They're so dramatic. Last night there was a great storm. Clouds, boom. Lightning like 2 miles away, boom. And then the sun comes out and the birds sing. But I'm glad I took a moment and noticed the storm, the lightning, and the cardinal song, and got out of my head. So I recommend doing that, getting out of your head. People try all kinds of things to get out of their head, you know, they eat cake. Thanks for showing up today. It's nice to see everyone. What's happening? Questions, comments?
So it was very helpful to hear your talk, and it helped me to realize that, you know, I can't really figure this whole thing out. It's more experiential. If I try to practice like my hair's on fire, then I will come to a place of equanimity and be more useful. which is, I think, what I want most, or what feels best to me as to justify why I'm here and what I'm supposed to be doing. So thank you.
Did you have anything you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to have surgery tomorrow to remove a cancer from my body. And this has been an amazing journey. I'm learning lots. And I'm definitely able to use that still point that you're talking about. I certainly don't have it perfected, but it's definitely made this a very different experience than it would have been. And I'm noticing how fearful everybody is about living and dying.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to use the experience as a way for me to learn, but also to bring comfort to all of the people around me who are so scared. And they're extremely loving and nurturing, so they're willing to be in this with me, but they also have their way of dealing with it, like eating lots of cake and stuff like that. And I'm noticing this, and my grandson came to visit, and he's of the innocent mind. And so he's enjoying all the time. And it's just very natural for him. And he will ask me how I feel or what's going on, but he's enjoying. He stays in that place. And I've had so much laughter with him. I've had so much fun. And when I do, my mind goes, well, you're not supposed to. You know, you're not acting like someone who is going through this experience. You need to shape up now and get back to the misery and the suffering. And so it waffles back and forth, and I notice it. And I'm experiencing deep joy, deep fear, the whole thing, and constantly moving back to this place. And I don't know how else to do life. I mean, this works for me. So I'm trying to use this experience as not getting attached to the label of cancer, for one thing. Because mm-hmm. the minute you say that word,
yeah.
it immediately brings up all kinds of stuff.
Right.
So actually, my daughter and I have a new word for it, and we call it a crinkle. That I have a crinkle, and it's going to be removed just because of the labels.
Yeah.
My grandson, from out of nowhere, started a conversation with me last night about labels. And I mean, he's absolutely, of course, no background in this as of yet, but obviously he does. And he just started talking about labels and tables are not tables and chairs are not chairs. And I just sat there and said, my God, I have, you know, a bodhisattva in front of me. And I'm just watching all of this and I'm amazed. So I'm scared, but I'm grateful. And I feel safe. I also feel very scared sometimes, but I'm able to do it. And I'm able to look at my living and dying. And begin to understand that just is whatever it is.
There's a lot there.
I know.
Yeah, it gives me goosebumps to hear you talk. So that was very powerful, what you're grandson was sharing with you about labels and his joy. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, well, Quantum Bosal, my heart goes out to you, and I'm sending you lots of good energy.
Thank
for
you.
The whole process.
Thank you.
And stay in touch about how you're feeling and what's going on.
Okay. I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uplifting for me to hear your acceptance and the equanimity that you're experiencing, notwithstanding the what appears to be great magnitude of this situation and all the risks inherent, you know, in your circumstance. And it feels like you're totally present in how you described it, and that you're in the best possible state of being to go through it. And I too wish you the best, and we'll keep you in my mind and heart based on what you've shared and being a part of our Sangha. Best of luck.
Thanks, Ross. So, you know, we can be great teachers in how we handle our experience of living.
Well, I have to say that I'm noticing this like undercurrent story through this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. And what I'm noticing is we've had events in our family, you know, where people are getting along, they're not getting along, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden this happens and it's like someone just like, you know, slashed through it and said, that's enough. And it's so powerful. And so I have a portion of my family here visiting from across the country. And it's like chess pieces are being moved around. And when I go to the hospital, they're allowing two people to be waiting for me after I come out of surgery. And so one member of my family volunteered to do it, but the other member was the one that I personally would have liked to be there, but that it is what it is. And that's the other thing, because my ego gets all involved in this. And so I kind of let it go, and all the pieces got moved around. And the one who I wanted to be there is the one who is going to be there, even though it's the last person I'd ever expect to be there. It's just pretty wild. So everything I'm thinking, I'm learning, is not very accurate. The way I see relationships, people in my family, what I think they feel about me, what I feel about them, and the love is very deep.
Yes.
So if only we could just clear through whatever else that is, because the love is very deep and strong.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, it's like what you're talking about is what we're really here to do. Anything else?
I have one other funny story I have to share.
Sure.
My daughter,
please.
You know,
yeah,
is an artist, and
yeah,
she's in California, and she'll be coming, but she's not here right now. But she sent me a picture of a Buddha with a prayer shawl around its neck.
Sure.
That's perfect. Okay.
Yeah. Being able to see the gifts in the experiences of life, even though they are tragic. And this, Ross, referring earlier about sitting like your hair's on fire.
Right.
You're having a hair's on fire experience for sure. Yeah.
I know. I keep thinking of the song Cabaret. And now, life is a cabaret. I mean, don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
All of these events and dramas and up and down and in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Yep. Ah. Sangha. Great teachers. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
You too.
Best of luck tomorrow.
Thank you.